Well, we still haven't got around to, I still didn't get around to doing a recording of this with Morris, myself, and Josh, but we will get to that at a new level to this. Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert and Chair across me. We're going to attempt a area fishing report. Now, if you're looking at the place by place, we have kind of reset it, going more along with our walk around the harbor thing. So we're going to be adding some new places to that, so you can just kind of look at it if you don't want to listen to all our long-winded stuff on here. But as always, there will be more in-depth information on the radio fishing because I don't have to type. So anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and this is part one of the area fishing report. Hello, Robert.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Oh, I am peachy. Any moment, I'm going to run face first right into D&D.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how do you get better than that? All right. So, let's see. We're going to start the area fishing report off with up on the Peace River system. Peace River system, places listed on the site would be, let's see, I-75, Harbor Heights Park, Sanssouci Trestle, Liverpool, Chelsea, Chester Roberts Park, Patty up here in the Darce Boat Ramp. These are all saltwater accessible places to that. And what's going on up on the Peace River?
It's actually been kind of quiet up there. There's been a lot of gar moving around. Quite a few juvenile tarpon and black drum as you get right around the I-75 bridge. Even just north of it up the river, just a little tiny bit, you're seeing a lot of tarpon moving around. They're the fun size guys, though. You know, they're those little 10 to 25 pounders, which, you know, for most people, they're a lot more acrobatic, and you can have lighter tackle. You don't have to have that elaborate, bigger, heavier tarpon gear.
Now, I sold a rig to a guy the other day, and I was thinking more for full-size tarpon, but actually, it's a great mid-size rod.
Yeah.
Because it was a little lighter action, not like a extra heavy or anything like that, 8 foot. Good casting distance and all that, but normally I think of those tarpon at 12 to 20 rod range with like a 4,000, maybe a 5, but we went to a 5,000 with like a 15 to 30 pound 8 foot rod,
right?
With a 15 to 30 or 15 to 25 in that range, with the right brand, you can get a nice light tip. He picked the Reaper,
right?
And 7.5 foot. Nice, you need a little, you're going to use a little shorter leader, but the distance is incredible with that.
Yeah.
And he did the right reel. He put a clash on it.
Well, that had to be a really killer setup.
It was beautiful with the 5,000 clash, 50 pound braid, the Reaper rod. It was absolutely gorgeous. Akuma has one that's a lot less expensive. Penn doesn't have a light enough action on one.
No.
But for those fish up there, you can get a 15 to 30 Akuma with a nice light action on it.
Yeah.
You can get that Shimano Terramar with that 30-pound. I think it's a 30. Is it 25?
Yeah.
The
30. Yeah, it's a 30.
Because the other one's the 40.
Yeah.
The 40 would be way overkill.
Yeah,
you wouldn't enjoy
broomstick.
The fish. But with that 30 on it, that XH, not the XX, but the XH.
Right.
That would be a nice rod for up there, too. Just thinking about rods and what you can do, because even though you're fishing a much more confined space in the Peace River, it's not like being out in the middle of the harbor, but those fish still seem to know what the casting distance of a 7-foot rod is.
Yeah, they stay that extra 10 feet away from it or 20 feet away every time.
So
it'll try your patience really quickly. It's pretty funny.
Now, I haven't heard of really much for redfish up there, a few snook.
A few little peanut snook, even an incidental bigger snook, but it's been pretty quiet on them. I think over this next month, because the redfish are really getting active as we get south. So I think over the next few weeks, you'll start to see some more activity moving up there.
All right.
We need some more thread fins to move around and glass minnows.
Okay. Let's go down by the 41 bridge.
41 bridge has been spotty. I think it's just been so darn hot in these weird storms. Most of the guys have been fishing in the early morning and then in the late evening after those storms have gone by. Some juvenile tarpon, a lot of black drum. I've heard of a couple Spanish mackerel moving in and out with that real strong incoming tide that we had this past week with the full moon. Even been a few whiting and a few trout down there. You know, but the guys are they're working for it quite a bit. You know, it's that time of year. You know, it's kind of normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's not gangbusters, all but right. It's by all means
well,
worth
Lashley
killing some
Park's
time.
Right next to that. Let's anything at Lashley. Lashley's in a tough spot because it's on a slower moving side of the river.
Right.
You know, it gets wide and it narrows up right there. But it doesn't seem to get that good water flow under it. It's got decent flow,
right.
But it doesn't
seem to boogie as fast as the other side.
Yeah, I don't understand. If you go all the way to the far north, it gets very slow. It's got that great big belly over there, but it sweeps around that corner pretty good because it's so wide narrowing down.
Right.
That north end of that bridge. What do they call that new park now? Power Pole Park or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. We actually took a walk down there for the first time the other day.
Yeah, I got to go down and get pictures of all
it's
that.
Pretty
it's
nice.
All changed and new. I heard it, actually, much to my chagrin, until I actually see it myself, I'm not going to count it as a win, but I think they might have actually done that one pretty good.
I think they did a pretty decent job with it, personally.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you're going...
I would like to have seen a few less parking spaces with a little bit more grass area to walk around.
I'm just the opposite. Who cares about the grass? I'm sorry, it's next to a bridge. It's next to a highway. Give me parking spaces.
I'll argue that one.
I want parking spaces because nobody's going to walk there. And with the people walking the bridge, people going there to fish, people doing all that, if you give me 4 extra parking spaces, I'll give you a pass. If I want grass, I'll walk over to Gilcrest Park, and there's acres and acres of grass over there.
Sure.
So I'm going to trade the parking spaces for the grass there.
Okay.
Now, why do you think there should be more grass?
Too damn much heat.
It's next to a massive bridge. It's solid concrete.
So why add more?
I don't think it's going to add any more. I think the amount of square footage of whatever
so
heat would come off of that.
So taking your stove and putting it from low to low medium doesn't change it?
It's not enough. It's more like going from... if your stove actually had enough settings, let's say you're going from a 1 to 1.05.
Right.
Those two spaces aren't making any difference. That bridge is such a massive monument to heat and all the rest of it next to it.
They just build so much concrete around everything. It'd just be nice to see maybe
changing.
And this
is the first time. No, you're just way off base with this because you go over to East Spring Lake. They took out most of the parking spaces. You go to most of the boat ramps. They're putting in dividers and little grassy areas, and the county doesn't keep them up, so they all look like garbage. And all these little medians and everything else where they're trying to throw this grass in there. And it, not only does it look like heck, it just looks bad, and it takes away from the parking. Some places just should be for parking.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just totally against you on that. I want the parking space. The only reason I even decided I like that was because you can actually find a place to park.
Right. There's a lot of them there.
So, I'm you know, Robert doesn't think it's a good idea, but me, I'm 100% on board with it. Go back to Lashley Pier. Why is there fish at Lashley?
It's been a little quiet there. There's been a couple small sharks that I've heard caught off of there. A few whiting and some small peanut snook off there in the evening time, but overall, it's been kind of quiet.
Okay.
You know, I would expect it to be kind of this way this year, but I'm not hearing of any snappers.
Swing around the corner. What are we going to do to Bayshore?
Bayshore's been early morning bite mostly. There's been a couple tarpon being hooked up off the pier there, some small to moderate-sized sharks. At the early morning, right at first light, a couple guys have even been hooking an oddball redfish and snook off of it. You know, which is a little different for now. You know, you always hear a snook every now and then, but I've been hearing of it consistently lately. You know, and a lot of guys fishing it, just not gangbusters.
Okay. That takes us into Port Charlotte, the canal system over there. Anything going on?
The Port Charlotte canals have actually been doing pretty good. There's a lot of black drum have moved into them. And a lot of juvenile tarpon, you know, especially around that grassy point area and the canal system just behind it that goes into Edgewater Lake, loaded with tarpon and black drum. Been some jacks marauding through all the canals here and there, so keep your eye out for them crashing the water, which has been cool. The only thing I've heard a little bit less about this week is sand bream. It seems like one guy's doing good on them and nobody else is doing any good on them. It's a little... slowed down a little bit on those guys because we've been talking about them so much last few weeks. A lot of little peanut snook, especially over there towards the beach complex. You know, at the beach complex itself, there's been an oddball mangrove snapper, some juvenile tarpon first thing in the morning right there in that whole bay area. You know, so it's not too bad. You know, if you want to move around a little bit or you don't want to go way out in the harbor, right, run from the storms.
Well, one thing, we don't list Port Charlotte Beach and give it a separate report. If for those of you who are wondering, like we do at Lashley, even though there's other stuff right around there, or even Englewood, we do the Tom Adams Pier separate from Lemon Bay, because you got to pay to park there.
Right.
And once they put in that pay to park stuff, it doesn't get used. I mean,
doesn't get utilized the way it should.
It's disgusting. Anyway, so that's why it doesn't have a separate category, because not enough people utilize it because of the pay for parking.
Right.
I mean, you know, and what's sick is any place there's a boat ramp, you have to pay to park, but the boat ramps are paid for and maintained by a fee on our boat registrations.
Right.
So we actually pay to maintain them, but they charge us to use them. There's got to be some kind of constitutionality in there about a double taxation or something. I should be able to sue the county for like $10 or $15 million and retire.
Should be.
I should be able to. Why not?
Give it a try.
I'd like to. Never actually sued anybody. I don't know if I actually want to change that now. Okay, let's jump up from Port Charlotte Beach. We'll swing right out of Alligator Bay and hit the Mica Cutoff, the Mica River, Eljabine. Eljabine maybe should have it. I'm gonna drop that down and give it its own little section here.
Yeah, Eljabine's so good because of that little microenvironment it's got. So it is kind of a separate intent.
Yeah, it's radically different than the other
surrounding
the
area,
Cutoff and the Cattle Dock Point and Tippecanoe and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So. And now I have Eljabine Pier listed as a separate thing, and then we'll do that. So what's going on at Eljabine Pier?
Eljabine Pier.
All right, hang on just a minute. Oh my goodness, I think we lost Robert.
Bye, Robert.
Where'd you go, buddy? Robert! Captain Kale is here. And we're right at Eljabine, and we're working on the Eljabine. What's going on? Heard anything in Eljabine lately?
A lot of guys are finding ladyfish there.
Okay.
And of course, they're turning around and using them right for the tarpon that are up there, too. Been getting some reports of snook at night. They've been doing fairly decent at night, especially on the full moon that we just passed, but they're still holding in there.
Okay. How about like the Mica Cutoff, Cattle Dock Point, anything going on in any of those places?
I haven't seen much of Cattle Dock, but Cattle Dock can do that. You'll go there one day, not catch nothing, and go there the next day and set the world on fire. I would probably...
Do you ever catch snook there?
That's one species I think I've never caught there.
I've caught redfish and other things. Predominantly, yeah, I use it as a redfish spot.
Yeah, redfish or tarpon are probably your big ones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, up around where the pilings were and that,
yeah,
there was always a, you know, usually a red or two anyway hanging out there. But I just,
Not much water, not much current.
I guess maybe the snook just is not a snook spot for some reason.
Yeah, when you're sitting there with the Eljabine Bridge and eye shot.
Right.
I think I'm going there if I'm a snook.
I got that. Okay.
Mayaka Cutoff. Lots of little snook. Doing pretty good on redfish in there. A lot of little snapper, a lot of little sheephead at the mouth of some of the little feeder creeks inside there. The S-Turn has been doing either very, very well for redfish, or every catfish in the county has migrated there. There seems to be no in between.
Really?
The good news is you're going to catch something.
Or What I did was reset the place-by-place fishing report to kind of mirror our walk around the harbor.
Well, that makes sense.
So it's no longer like an alphabetical thing. It's a
trip around our world.
Trip around the harbor where you follow it from the Peace River down and around. So, unfortunately, it brings in the South Cove. I have no reports from over there, and I haven't heard anything.
I'm actually getting a lot of complaints out of South Gulf Cove. A lot of those guys that are coming in and out of South Gulf Coves to go fishing and come home from fishing like to do a lot of trolling
right
up that first main channel, and it's so full of crab traps that they can't troll.
Really?
It's just absolutely packed with crab traps. So my answer is
that's a private canal system there. I don't know how they're getting away with that.
They've trapped that for years.
Yeah.
My thing is okay. Get yourself some crabs and start throwing half a crab underneath those bushes. If there's that many crabs that are drawing that many crabbers, it's probably drawing just as many redfish too, and black drum.
Yeah, that actually makes sense.
And that place is, that stretch there is notorious for good redfish anyways.
Sorry, I'm...
Or, go crabbing. Some people actually like to eat those little things.
What's that about?
That's the $10 from that gentleman, so thank you very much for hooking him up.
Oh, what did I hook up?
You took his reel apart and fixed it and did that.
Oh. Oh, the guy with the old reel, Jeff just walked in and gave me actually money, and I was like, what the heck is somebody giving me money for? That doesn't happen. So
what do I do to deserve
you
this?
Join in on us. We're doing an area fishery.
Come on, Jeff.
You want to slide over? I'll crank up Robert's mic. We lost Robert. He went to a Dave Matthews concert. Oh. Now, his wife is a huge Dave Matthews fan.
I have considered taking his man card away since this started 5 years ago, because at first he would go just with the wife because it wasn't his genre of music. Right. And I understood that. Yeah. The things that we do for playtime.
Yeah.
But now he goes because he likes it.
He's
just liking it now.
Now, this may be like
he has
Robert,
it on his phone.
Maybe, remember when Robert like wouldn't go around any mammals if it wasn't cold-blooded. He only did lizards and snakes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The more venomous, the better, and all that. I mean, he went everywhere looking for them. And then all of a sudden got one dog.
Yes.
And then he ended up
really
with four of them.
Yeah.
Well, he's down to two now, so
yeah,
I mean, if it's any consolation.
Natural attrition.
He's down to two, so that's all good.
He's getting soft at his old age.
This is Jeff here with us, one of our fishing instructors. And Jeff, you can he's in the store Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, mostly afternoon shifts, except on Saturday morning
part-timer.
And Sunday all day.
Part-time.
Part-time. He works a lot of hours. Jeff just likes having Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to go fishing.
There you go.
When there's nobody there, he doesn't. He wants to work weekends so he can have the weekdays off to go fishing. You want to? That's the one Steve's been using. I actually have a signed Rapala lure now.
Really?
It's
from who?
From the owners of Rapala, from the family.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I just got one. It's signed by a family member.
Nice.
An original Rapala signed by a family member.
Is their name Rapala?
Yes. Rapala is their name.
Yeah, I think it's Rapala.
It is Rapala.
Yeah.
And, but anyway.
That's leaving with me.
So what happened was we ended up pausing because we've had, our shiners have been dying for months now.
Yes.
We could not figure out what was going on. We tried new tanks. Four separate tank configurations, new pumps, new filters, chillers, no chillers. We tried everything, and it's the water.
Yep.
The chloramine, the chloramide, whatever it was.
It's that wonderful Charlotte tap water?
And when did they switch over to the chloramine?
When our bait started dying is when they switched.
It was about a year ago or 2 years ago.
Right. We could not, it was 8-9 months ago or whatever it was, but our bait's been dying all this time. We haven't had minnows or shiners. They're living great now.
Yeah, they look very happy back there.
And so.
The test fish look very happy.
We've been working with certain water. Mm-hmm. Certain water. We're going to do a whole show with him because this water issue is huge.
It is.
I mean, this is the.
And we're drinking it and bathing in it.
Everything else. Yep. And, I mean. It's literally going crazy. So But certain water, the guy's name is Bill. He's what an asset. We now have shiners and minnows living again for the first time in almost a year.
It's been a while.
So anyway,
and him and those guys have become really good clients of mine.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, this, what a great company. I mean, when I told him what was going on with the system he installed, he literally, I mean, this man reads everything about water. It's
right.
crazy how
right.
intense he is about this water. And thank God, because it's my bait. And now
yeah.
I'm having him put a full system in my house, because once I found out what all this stuff is doing,
sure.
I'm not drinking it anymore. I drink coffee all day, and it's made from that darn water.
Yeah, no. Wow,
so
yeah.
anyway, West Wall, any of the creeks in the West Wall, what's going on in the West Wall? Anybody heard?
I have not heard too much on the West Wall, but I was up in Tippecanoe on Tuesday.
Oh, let me back up.
Okay.
Yeah, I did forget Tippecanoe, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now,
I don't know whether
I'm backing up to Tippecanoe.
Okay. I didn't know whether you passed that yet or not.
Tippecanoe.
Yeah, we had done Elgin Bean and cut off.
What we did was set up the fishing report to start at the Peace River,
right.
41,
and then
all the way up in the Mac,
gotcha.
And down the West Wall, Bull Bay, up and around.
I gotcha.
So anyway, we're Tippecanoe Bay. What's up?
Yeah, Tippecanoe Bay. Water is black and moving out of there at a good rate from up by the ballpark and that. There are some pretty good herds of jack up there in the 10-inch mark, and boy, do they love these spoons.
Oh, you're another Acme guy.
Boy, do they love these spoons.
You like the Acme baits.
I've been using the smaller one. But it netted me, half a dozen or better of jacks out of the schools before they got so binked up that they decided to move away from us. But I cut up a couple of the small jacks, used them for bait. We got a couple of 3-foot juvenile bull sharks on them, and also, a couple of nice mangrove snappers, probably in the 15, 16-inch mark as far as that goes. But no redfish, no snook were caught up in there. I did get my butt handed to me one time. Assuming it was a snook, don't know for sure, just one of those. Okay.
That's the Chinese guy on the bottom.
Yeah, it was.
He was
Zing Pao-ing back to China is where he was going.
All right, we had just been talking about South Gulf Cove was the last one we hit.
South Gulf Cove, I have been getting reports up there by the marina that is west
that's
of the
way back in
west
there.
Of the west of the marina, the boat ramp and all that. Those reeds that run along that eastern. East west, it's might
that's
be
all right.
It's a canal that runs along from the boat ramp down past the marina to
right.
the end.
Yeah.
Those reeds there have been producing some nice bass and snook. So I got a couple guys that come in. They get the twitch baits and the chrome fat wraps, and they've been using those in there.
And now much easier to launch your boat at that boat ramp.
Oh yeah.
Now that they got the GMC Jimmy out from beneath the ramp.
Nice. Yeah. The insurance job that didn't go through, probably.
Yeah.
But that ramp is a nice ramp. I put in there several times. It's a nice place if you decide to fish in that area. If you got a smaller boat that doesn't go that fast, just take the drive in the car and put in over there. And
now
it's a brand new ramp.
The county ramp. The one off of Waterford or Butford or whatever
something
it is?
Something like
or
that.
Or are you
yeah.
going around up to where the main park is in the middle of it?
I'm going to the park in the middle of it. I'm going
that,
down by the
yeah.
marina, by
they
the dry
want you
storage.
Using that other little one, but the
yeah.
main ramp up by the...
Yeah, the concrete
where the,
ramp.
Where the park
right.
and all
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah,
stuff
yeah.
is.
Yeah. yeah, they're kind of frowning against you using the dirt ramps at the ends of those canals on the... end.
There's
on the,
another one. As soon as you... Right before you get to Gulf Cove, you make that left on that road. And
yes.
on that one, Butterford, I think.
Yeah, that is right across from the fire station.
Yeah, they're not
now,
they're
see,
not wanting you to use it.
Well, that community that is over there of the trailer park, that is probably the reason why, because that used to be their ramp.
Right.
And then
and
something
exactly
happened and then it went to the county and they kind of frown upon you putting in there. It's not the best boat ramp.
It's
there is,
and it's short.
I would rather go to the other one myself.
The main one around,
a little closer to the area of going. Right. If you put in at that little ramp at Butterford, you have to go around and go through the canal at Ingram anyway
right.
to get out to the lock. You can't go directly straight out because
no,
they got it.
They got it. They dammed
we've always
it off
had it blocked
because of the
off.
Water flow issues.
Fresh salt, blah
yeah,
blah blah.
It's
yeah,
just
right.
ridiculous because
yeah.
I mean that's what the lock is supposed
yeah,
to
exactly,
do.
Exactly.
Anyway,
but that area has been doing good as far as bass and
right.
snook.
Let's go back. I want to get to the West Wall here.
Okay.
What's going on the West Wall?
Lots of smaller reds in the feeder creeks. Tons of snook everywhere on the west wall, inside the creeks, outside the creeks. If you can get into some of those smaller creeks, that's where you're going to start finding your larger snook. There's been some really good-sized reds on the lower end of the west wall.
Yeah, down by the Muddy Bay, yep. The cove there, the last football field before you get to the channel that goes into that cove, there's right. A really nice grass bar there, and most of the time I'll catch some nice redfish and snook in that area. It has been hot, though. I got to tell you, right. Tuesday, we were home by 2:30. Wednesday, we were home by 2:30.
To me, that's just a smart way to do it. Okay, let's talk about Cape Hayes. What's going on around Cape Hayes?
I haven't heard of anything around Cape Hayes.
A few flounder?
I very rarely fish Cape Hayes. Cape Hayes is one of those places I never catch fish.
I've been hearing a few flounder around to the opening of Bull Bay. Actually, on the bar, I haven't heard too much, but this time of year, I would be normally catching some trout over there.
And there's a few trout. And like you say, out along the bar, what did you say was out by the bar?
Out on the bar, typically it's the trout and the flounder that I see out over there. They're not very big ones, but they are there. Now, that channel on the inside is changing. You know, it used to be you could go around the corner of Cape Hayes and hug the shoreline, and it was 8 feet deep all the way to Bull Bay.
Not anymore.
It's not that way anymore, no. The corner's got 8 feet of water in it, but once you go around it, it's pretty much...
Shallow, very shallow.
When you've got a little bit of a deep trough there, but right before you get to Turtle Bay...
You got to berm out, and go out.
Even whether you go in or out, it's just skinny right through there.
Yeah.
Best bet is just to shut down because you're going right into the slow and awake zone at that point.
Yeah.
If you can idle back and get everybody spread out on the boat.
Yeah. Well, we did last time when we stopped.
Get people up in the front.
Yeah, we stopped right before we got to the corner onto the bar, got everybody set up with their rigs, and then just kind of drifted across the bar into the opening of Bull Bay.
Turtle Bay.
Turtle Bay.
Yeah.
Turtle Bay, sorry.
All
first
right.
One.
Now we're actually on Turtle Bay, Bull Bay. Anything going on there?
There's been a lot of trout just inside the bar in Turtle Bay. Right where that bar, on the backside of that bar where it starts to drop off into that 4 or 5 feet of water. Just about out to the end of the
bar. Are the redfish still there? I haven't been out
there.
I've
not heard about that.
No, the redfish have left. The black drum that were out in front have left.
Anything up inside of Turtle Bay? A few redfish here and there?
I would say your small ones. You know, you got your...
Lots of little snook. It's getting to the point out there again where if you find a mangrove shoreline, you're probably going to find a lot of little snook in there.
You've got to be able to get your bait back up under the mangroves. If there's enough water for them to get up in the mangroves, you're going to almost have to do the slingshot approach
right.
to get it up under there because that's where they're coming out of what I see anyway.
If you go over in Bull Bay, anything going on in Bull Bay that would be different than Turtle Bay?
Not really. I haven't seen too much different over there as far as what I've been hearing. You might be able to get something around that big houseboat that's anchored up on that one big pin out there.
But oh, you mean back in that little bay?
Back in the back corner there, yeah.
In that back, the houseboat bay back there.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I go to Bull Bay, I hit the clamleys.
Right.
There's always something to catch on that little point in front of the clamleys.
The last two times I've been there, there's been a school of manatees there. So if that tells you anything, yeah.
Usually that point right there.
He's hitting something there, you know.
Yeah. There's been a school of manatees there.
All right, okay, enough of that. Let's. The problem with the school of manatees, you love watching them, you love seeing them, but you can't get the boat in there. You're not, you know, no sane human is going to risk injuring one.
Well, it's usually there's a manatee, and is the boat motor shut off? Or we drift over them. Then they get surprised and they move around pretty quick and then they stir up everything around in the area.
And they spook the fish.
But a lot of times when I see them though, I see a cobia. And this year has been the year for cobias. So
the best thing to do with the manatees: right,
let's
come in quiet, put your stick-it pole in.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'll do is I'll actually get a longer rope.
Yeah, and try to figure out what they're doing.
20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And put that stick-it pole way back out behind the boat. Because that stick-it pole is like a manatee magnet.
Okay.
They will go chew on it. Scratch on it. Now I know where they're at, and they're not bothering my fish.
Turn your live well off, too, so they don't come up and start drinking off the overflow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, too.
Yep.
I don't know if they think it's a freshwater hose or what they think it is.
They come right up to it.
They will sit there and drink for hours.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I mean, it's the exact same water, but it just happens to be flowing out. Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
I think they think the freshwater thing. I don't know.
Yeah, because if you have a hose running in the water, I mean, the manatees will just line up for it.
But generally, I last time I've been down there and I've seen them, I've seen the cobias right there.
Okay.
Well, they didn't line up at your house that day. I left the hose on for a week and a half.
Yeah. Oh, maybe a little far removed from the actual area.
It was a little over $900 water bill.
No, really. I mean, I could have pulled manatee from South Gulf Cove over to Frank's house. I had it on so long.
Changed the salinity of the harbor.
Yeah, right. Welcome. All right. Thanks for the contribution.
Yes. Okay. As we get out to the Cape Hayes Reef.
Cape Hayes Reef.
Anything? No is as good an answer as yes.
I'll tell you, it is a good place to start looking for the big thread fins. If you're trying to find thread fins for shark fishing, cobia fishing, or tarpon fishing, that's where you're going to start seeing your schools of big threadies.
In the store, I think cobia is the last couple things I've heard in that area.
Okay.
You know, in between those markers of that one wreck that when they got the east and west buoys on those or whatever, cobia was the last thing I heard there.
All right, now that takes us up to Gasparilla Sound. Now, Gasparilla Sound could either be, and if you're talking about it, we got the tailing flats on the east side towards Bull Bay. We have Gasparilla Sound proper over by Boca Grande. Either or of those places, Glenn?
The east side towards the islands, I've been hearing small trout over there.
Okay.
Bluefish.
Really?
Really? Cool.
So.
And the tailing flat side has been holding some decent trout. There's been some redfish on the outside islands going up in towards Catfish in the Widden that face the tailing flats. Did I say Catfish or redfish?
Catfish.
I meant redfish.
You said, you said Catfish. Catfish Creek is where I thought you were talking about.
I had it on my mind because that's the one I can never remember, so I had to preload it, and it just came out early.
Okay, that brings us up to Placida by the Trestle, that area.
Small grouper around the trestles been being caught. Big complaint there is releasing the small
gags
grouper.
Or is it Goliath?
Good question. It's probably both, but probably
both.
Yeah. The biggest complaint I have there is when they throw them back in the water, they get eaten by the porpoise.
Dolphins.
Dolphin. Well, bottlenose dolphin.
Dolphins. We don't have porpoises here.
Okay. I say porpoise because usually when I say dolphin, people think I mean the green and yellow dolphin that's good to eat.
Yeah, that's the problem with dolphin and that's why I've switched to mahi-mahi.
Oh, there you go.
I just use the mahi-mahi thing.
Mm-hmm.
Flipper has...
Sheephead's getting just as bad.
Yeah.
Tell these guys from up north how good the sheephead are, and they turn their nose at you because they think they're talking about
the northern sheephead is much different fish species than our porgy down here that is so delicious.
And the California sheephead is different.
I didn't know there was a different one over there.
Yeah, they got another one over there.
Really?
They're pink.
They're pink?
Bright, honking, fluorescent pink.
Really? Are they off San Francisco?
Well, no, because there are male and females.
Oh, okay.
And they seem to be reproducing, so that rules that out.
Oh, okay, the reproduction part.
But the cool part is when you catch them, they're naturally pink.
And then?
And just flat pink. But when you catch them and they light up, they actually get a black stripe through their eye down their head.
Oh, that's pretty wild.
That's the male. The female will have a black stripe down her head and then a black stripe down her body.
That's pretty interesting.
Racing stripes.
Racing stripes. Racing stripes. We have racing stripe fish here. They call them racing mullet.
Yep. Schnooks. Okay. Lemon Bay. What's going on up in Lemon Bay?
I have not heard of Lemon Bay.
Me neither.
I have not.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we don't get too many people from the Lemon Bay area.
Well, we get a lot of them, but they're being kind of closed mouth.
Maybe that's their, they're doing good up there, then.
We've got that whole Englewood Fishing Club. There's a lot of people in here.
So they're either doing good or really, really bad.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, though, is that it is just really so hot right
it's
now.
It's hot.
Have anybody talked to anybody fishing the Tom Adams Bridge over there?
Snooker there?
I have. They did have a thing on in one of the papers that they're closing the Tom Adams Bridge for construction.
I wonder if they're going to close the fishing pier, too, again.
I don't know.
Wow.
That was my concern.
So all we got is snook underneath the bridge and the pier. All right. So now let's go out to the Gulf of Mexico. Anything on the reefs, wrecks, tons of snappers.
I have heard, but I do not know because I do not dive, but I have heard that Mary's Reef is covered up with lionfish.
I've been hearing similar things with some of that
really?
Stuff.
Yeah. Just Mary's?
Well, that's the people that I've talked to, spearfish out there, and they say they've been doing very well out there at Mary's Reef on the lionfish.
Yeah, well, we've had reports of lionfish in the harbor.
Yeah, but I think, though, what you're going to see caught on hook and line is going to be like a tenth, though, of what
right,
is really out there, because you got to put it like right in front of their face.
Yeah, it's literally got to go.
Yeah,
if it's not 3 inches in front of them, they're for such a dull-witted fish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That might be part of their reason why they're so successful, though. They're just
dull,
sitting there not doing anything, and they get passed by.
And anything that swims around them, they eat.
Yeah.
If it's smaller than them, they try and eat it.
Now, people have told me that have not eaten the lionfish, they're scared to. They have said that when they spear one, they can feed it to a Goliath grouper, and he'll eat it right off the spear.
And that's what
but
you
they
need.
Won't eat a live one
that's
for some
what
reason.
You need to do. If you keep training them to eat those things, they will associate it with food and start eating them on their own.
Oh, they already do.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
Goliath grouper is one of the only fish that can survive eating a lionfish.
Yeah.
And now the scientists have said several of the other groupers are starting to eat lionfish
as well.
There's
been videos of the warsaws. Any of big grouper that eat anything
grouper.
That moves.
Yeah. And
get
they
close
seem
enough
to be
to
surviving
me.
It.
And it wouldn't surprise me if the hammerheads
can
take
say,
it too.
Look at how many hammerheads they catch and they find the stingray barbs in the roof of their mouth. You know, that's a pretty powerful punch.
Right.
And a bacterial infection. So I mean, I don't know what the venom in a lionfish, but like I said, they have reported, though, that they've been eating them off their spear. And those are the people that are afraid to eat the lionfish themselves. I just handed them a pair of scissors and said, cut them off.
Cut the spines off and fillet that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the pointy edges of the spines.
Yeah, most people are just cutting off the two side fins and the dorsal fin. They're leaving the tail fin on. Now, out in the Gulf, at 90 feet or better, they're doing good on the snapper and grouper bite, gag and red. Larger red grouper this year don't seem to be getting that many reports of being wormy as all hell like they were in a couple years past. Typically, if they're over 9 pounds, they're going to have some worms in them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's just commonplace. They don't hurt you. They're a little disgusting, but other than that, they don't do anything.
Once fried up and cooked, you probably won't know they're there.
I always tell people, take out the ones you can see and don't worry about the rest of them. Because, I mean, there's nothing to them. What we're going to look at right now is the passes. Now, I know Boca and Captiva have a lot of snook in them, and the snook are kind of going along the beaches a little bit. But
and snapper.
All right, in Boca and Captiva.
Especially in Boca, on the on the south side, in about 30, 35 feet of water.
People are drifting that ridge.
Yep. Doing real well on mangroves.
All right. Anything in any of the other passes?
Little Gasparilla has been doing all right with the snapper bite, too. The only problem with Little Gasparilla is it is just as thorny as Big Gasparilla Bass. And if your bait hits the bottom, it's probably going to be there. So it's a kind of a bump. You either get a fish or bump. You're hooked on the bottom.
And now drifting for them better or anchoring up?
I have never been able to successfully anchor in Little Gasparilla Pass. Too much boat traffic.
Shrimp? Squid?
Shrimp is what I've been using. I don't usually use squid until I go out in the Gulf.
Okay. All right. Now, this is what we call walking the beaches. Now, it could be Sanibel all the way up to Venice, just walking the beaches. If you were going to walk along the beach casting a bait or a lure, what would you be likely to catch? Anybody heard anything?
There's still some pompano out there.
I mean, this could be sharks, could be goliath, could be anything.
Sharks are still out there, yeah.
Sharks?
They're still going to the beach for shark fishing. I have not heard much about whiting. And usually whiting is something that I catch at the beaches, like Englewood, when we go to Englewood and stay. I can usually go out in the morning with a shrimp on a jig head and bounce it along the shoreline there and get a whiting or something like that. But I haven't heard too much about the whiting on the beaches this year.
Yeah, I know. Robert keeps telling me about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if anybody actually listens to the report, I think that you can send me emails to see if I'm wrong or right. But I think when we start talking about the beach, I think Robert goes default whiting.
I don't know.
I think he does a default whiting on that one.
I don't know.
Because, you know, I hear about whiting here and there, and then I talk to people on the beaches, and nobody's caught a whiting.
I haven't heard of it
and
this year.
I don't know who he's talking to. Now, the one thing that is for sure, he is on his phone all on and off all day.
Hey, right.
Talking to everybody about fishing.
Right, right.
One of the reasons Robert's so good at this is, I mean, what would you say? Out of an 8-hour day, 3-4 hours, he is talking to somebody on his phone somewhere about fishing someplace. Yeah.
I think that's being very gracious.
Yeah, I know, 5 or 6 hours, you know. All right, Punarasa, Sanibel. Anything around Sanibel Island or any of the islands down there,
more
inside
snook,
or out?
More snook around the pass and inlets. I've definitely heard that. There's shark fishing down there.
Anybody heard anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, you can't, like, shake your head, guys. This actually
has to
be a verbalized response. I say anything else, they're both going, no, not really, just shaking their heads. I'm like, no, we must speak. Okay, Matt Lachey, anything in Matt Lachey?
I've not heard Matt Lachey either myself.
No, I know there's been a bunch of redfish just to the south and just to the north.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that.
But they've been thinning out real bad on the south side. There is better up on the north side. But
well, I think the ones on the south side moved to the north side. I think that's why the north side has gotten so good.
So water quality down there pushing them up our way a little bit more?
No, I think it's food.
Why food?
I think those ones in the south were eating everything under the sun. A lot of our bait has moved out and come this way, and I think the reds are just following it. And on top of that, a lot of them were oversized reds, so they're starting to feel that call to breed here shortly.
Well, that's usually August. Isn't that October, November?
No.
Red October?
August.
September?
Full moon in August to the full moon in October.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Pine Island Sound. Now, Matt Lachey is on the inside of Pine Island, between Pine Island and the mainland, and
right.
Pine Island Sound is on the outside, going out towards the Barrier Islands out there.
Right.
Anybody heard anything on the flats out there, ICW, anything?
The redfish. They're getting some redfish out there, smaller ones. Yep. I haven't heard of any monster ones out there, but there's
not
definitely
yet.
Some redfish out there.
Okay, more open water or up against the mangroves?
More open water in the channels around their area. They're more hanging around the channels there. They got a little better water, you know, going on with the saltiness.
And temperature.
Okay. I wish I could type a little faster. I'm trying to do the place-by-place report on the website because I haven't done either one of these in a week and trying to get everything done up. Which takes us around Pine Island Sound, brings us up to Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals. Any reports from there?
Bait.
Okay.
Lots of bait. And I have to start preaching this, that if you're going to go down there and get bait, stay there and fish.
Okay. Yeah, you know, the fish is going to be where the kitchen is in their respect.
Exactly.
So.
Okay.
One of my favorite
places.
So
are we looking for maybe Spanish mackerel, or are we looking for trout, or sharks, or grouper, or something like that?
Yeah, I think the Spanish mackerel and the trout would definitely be into that area.
Definitely.
So are we thinking, or anybody going
to... I have not gotten any solid.
What I like to do is, if you come into Bokele on a really, really low tide, and you can see that outlying sandbar, and then you've got that big, long grass flats from that sandbar into almost Patricio Island.
Right.
Well, right in behind that sandbar, if you can come around through the old channel and come in behind it, there's a deep hole back there. And if you can get your boat in that deep hole and time your tide right, get in there in that big deep hole and get stuck there, you're going to be there till the tide comes back in.
Oh, so what you want to do is go on an outgoing tide.
Outgoing tide.
What Cale's trying to say
I got you.
Is
it's like when we used to scallop.
You come into an outgoing right. tide, you get your boat back there, and then as the water goes down, it leaves the fish in a bowl.
Yeah,
there's nowhere for them to go.
There's nowhere else for them to go. There. They have to go there.
So you, but the downside to this is you are not leaving until the tide comes back up. So
that's how I fish Trout Creek a lot of times.
But it is worth it.
I used to do that too. Trout Creek, yep. I would do it in the Mica Cutoff.
Yep.
I had holes on the east side. I would try and get there and literally balance the boat out as much as possible, get out and shove it, push it
right
up to there, drop my two anchors, and we would stay there and just catch fish after fish until the tide came up. Then the fish scattered, and by then we were ready to go anyway.
Yeah, right.
Because we were sitting high and dry until the tide came back up.
Yeah.
All right, but any confirmed fish at Jug Creek, or is it no reports?
No reports from me.
Trout. I've heard lots of trout at Jug Creek. Lots of bonnethead sharks.
Yeah, I don't want to say, okay, this is what should be there. I want to say this is what we've heard there. Otherwise, I'd just rather put a no report.
There you go.
Okay, now coming across, we're going to come up the east side. This is Hobbs Point, Two Pines, Burnt Store. Burnt Store to Two Pines, either or, anybody heard anything of?
There's been lots and lots of trout down south of Burnt Store. Not quite to Two Pines, but right in below Burnt Store has been doing pretty good. You have your usual snapper and snook sitting in front of the barrier islands there in front of Burnt Store. There's been some, I won't say decent white bait. There's been a lot, but it's been small.
Greenbacks.
Yeah, then they actually are greenbacks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're into the east side proper, Pirate Harbor, anything in Pirate Harbor?
Inside Pirate Harbor?
Or outside?
I haven't heard of much inside. Outside, again, lots of bonnethead sharks on top of the bar. And those bonnethead sharks are there because there's a ton of blue crabs on top of the bar. If you guys actually like to eat blue crabs, get on top of that bar on a low tide. When there's only about 3 inches of water on top of that bar and look in that grass, the blue crabs are everywhere. There's been a couple big Spanish mackerel running around in behind the bar. You'll probably run into them as you're looking for your trout.
Okay. Now, what was that, bluefish?
Spanish mackerel.
Spanish mackerel. I'm trying to type and listen, too.
Just in behind the bar, there's another deep trough there just above Pirate Harbor, and this time of year that seems to get a handful of Spanish mackerel in there, and they're usually big. They're usually going to be 2.5 feet or better.
Really?
Yeah, nice they're fish. Big Spanish mackerel.
Wow.
Barb latched onto one the other day. She got zing powed.
All right, now we're into Alligator Creek. What's going on there?
I've heard them getting redfish up in there, but they're up in the mangroves way far back in there. Morning time, fish the shaded side of the shoreline has been a better productive time. And that'll fall right into this time of year because you're probably going to want to leave there by noon anyway. Don't let your boat touch the mangroves or it'll be swarmed by the no-see-ums.
Poacher's Cut has been doing well for redfish, small snook, some flounder, lots of jacks. They seem to be preferring white bait in there. And if you can go in there with a live well full of white bait, you'll probably have a pretty good day. And that's right at the turn there where it's deep.
Gotcha. That would bring us into the PGI Canal System, Ponce de Leon Park. Anybody heard anything from Ponce?
I'm not.
No, Ponce has gone...
strangely quiet.
Strangely quiet.
All right, how about up in the canal system in PGI proper?
I have not.
Snook still
under the docks.
I know the black drum are up there.
Yep, snook under the docks.
There's been a lot of small tarpon running around in there. But they're literally running around. They find their hole and they stay there and stay there forever. Most of the people that are usually used to seeing tarpon behind their docks aren't seeing them now. So they're getting ready to push out into the harbor and start feeding. So they are moving around inside the canals, but they are still in there.
Okay. Gilcrest Pier, the one right off of Gilcrest Park.
They're catching some sharks out there, the little either whether they're bull sharks or black tips or spinners, but they are catching juvenile sharks out there. That's the reports I've been getting there. Cut bait. Doesn't matter whether it's ladyfish. Doesn't matter, you know.
Okay.
I think they're all black tips to them.
Well, they are, but...
but they're small bull sharks. There's not a black tip within 5 miles of that pier, so they're bull sharks, without a doubt. Jumping from that, we're jumping all the way out to the Alligator Creek Reef. Now, the only thing I've heard on there was tarpon. Anybody heard anything else?
No, that's the only thing I've heard is tarpon.
Be careful with the tarpon. They moved out of there today. That's not saying they're not coming back, but... we went there this morning because they'd been there all week.
Right.
And they were there for a couple minutes, and then all of a sudden they disappeared.
Gotcha.
But I did find where they went. They moved out in a beeline to marker one.
Really?
And why? Sure. Why would they go out there to marker one?
How would I know?
Food would be the only logical thing I can think of.
Yeah, that would be the only logical thing, but that's the thing.
Crabs.
There's been nothing out there. And then an hour later...
maybe they filled up at the reef.
An hour later, as that tide pushed out and turned out...
right.
Schools of little thread fins after schools of little thread fins coming down from upriver, being pushed out by that tide. And those things come flying off of Alligator Creek Reef an hour ahead of time and staged up waiting for them.
I'll be darned.
But the nice thing is the tarpon would eat just about anything you threw at them today.
Gotcha. So, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's see, the deep holes in the harbor. Anything out there?
Less reports, but still catching some sharks out there.
Yep. And I would still watch the upper hole for some wayward tarpon. Once they come off of that reef, they spread out pretty good. I mean, I was actually pretty proud of myself. I was not only a step ahead of the tarpon today, I was a step ahead of every other tarpon fisherman, too.
That's always a plus.
And that never happens.
It seems like there's a lot of room out there, but it's surprisingly small.
Okay. Let's see. I guess that kind of wraps up the fishing report. I don't know how I'm going to... I got to edit this piece out because we've got so much...
And I do want to add one thing.
Yeah.
Colony Point. Down to Mangrove or Whorehouse Point.
Right.
Full of ladyfish.
Oh, that's...
if you guys are looking for your ladyfish for bait, that's the place to go in the morning. They're everywhere.
What you want to think of, guys, are Ponce de Leon Park, and then either go to the left or the right from Ponce de Leon Park.
Yeah.
Around to the houses or around to where you see Alligator Creek. Yeah. That's where you're
talking
about.
Your better bet is probably heading north towards the condos.
Towards Colony Point.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, have you heard that they're trying to cut a canal / channel? I think it's from that lake at the condos.
They're actually trying to cut one back in at Alligator Creek for the bird section.
No, this is on the other side, out by Colony Point.
Oh, they're trying it again?
Yeah, I know about that one. I just heard about the one out in front of Colony Point. What they want to do is put a riprap wall out, you know, along in front of the condos out there, and then cut a canal in, maybe from that lake.
In between the condos and the... in between Colony Point and the mangroves?
Yes.
Yep.
Going
and
out of canal out that way?
It's not going to happen.
Why?
Well, they tried doing that before it was built. That whole entire new condo complex, Vivanti,
right,
was 99% pre-sold on the promise of saltwater access.
Right. They were going to cut a bridge and go into the canal.
They were actually going to cut right through the canal.
Well, that's when the original one failed.
Ground owls.
Ground owls stopped that?
In the lot in between.
Okay.
I'll tell you the real story after we're done.
No, tell it now. Come on.
We can always edit it out. This is Paul Harvey. We're going to hear the rest of the story.
They were going to originally go in right into the harbor, and the Army Corps of Engineers denied it. That's why this one's going to get denied, too. So
actually, all of the
people put a lawsuit against the contractor. Right. Because, like I said, it was pre-sold on the promise of saltwater access. Well, they found that one opening in the Colony Point, and they were going to put a boat lift in from their thing over.
Exactly.
The lady that owned the property was a managing partner at the law firm that was working for the clients that were suing the contractor.
Gotcha.
She stood to get more money from her share of the lawsuit than she did selling that land or leasing it to them.
Gotcha.
That was the land that would have gone across the road and into the canal.
In the Colony.
Yeah.
Yes. I gotcha.
All right. Now, what they've redone and redecided, you know how that one creek comes in there off to the north side of the the west side of the condos?
Yeah.
I think what they're talking about doing is...
Going through there.
Digging a channel out along the shoreline,
sure,
putting riprap in,
just
on
like
the
they did up by Fisherman's Village, kind of.
Yeah, that big long riprap thing. And from what I understand, that's what they're talking about doing. Somebody called me up and says, "You know, you've got to be against this." And I said, "Well, I don't know if I'm against it now."
Why
or not.
Do we have to be against it?
Well, because they'd be ruining some of the mangrove trees. And I said, "Well, we have a lot of mangrove trees, and giving up 50 feet of it may or may not be a bad thing."
Yeah.
Well, it would be a bad thing if it was just something bad. But
it's
going to
increase the value of them houses, that's for sure.
I don't care about them.
Well, why don't these...
It's not my house. What do I care? I'm sorry. Right. I shouldn't be that way, but I don't care about the value of the houses if it's going to cost us...
Knowing why you're for it or against it is...
For me, I would be possibly for it for deep water access to fish.
I got you.
So many of our little natural creeks relied on artesian springs
for the
water to flow through them, which do not exist anymore.
That is correct.
Every natural creek is filling in, eroding in.
Sure, because we're sucking the water out of the ground at a tremendous rate.
There's no way for an artesian well to live anymore. Yeah. Too many people, too much. I mean, and I cannot complain about that because I had three kids.
Yep.
If you had two kids, one kid, or no kid, Jeff, you can complain all you want. You didn't have any kids. You're allowed to complain. Right. I had three kids. I'm part of the problem, not the solution. So, but...
Good job, Jeff.
Jeff gets to complain.
I'd like to get a cut on my taxes for that. You know, everybody else gets taxes.
You should.
Shit.
You know. And that's helping the environment. The most environmentally friendly thing you can do is limit the amount of children you have. I know it's not religious, but strictly on a scientific basis.
I'm a firm believer you get what you get when you have your, you know, get married, you have your shot, have kids. Whatever you get on that draw is great.
Yeah.
You want to have more, make some more money.
Exactly.
If you can afford to have them, have as many as you want.
This sounds like...
we went to Paul Harvey.
Yes, I know. Okay, so
I'll be surprised.
We are all you could tell this is no longer a young shop.
We all knew
what Paul Harvey was.
That's true. That's true. That's sad to say.
What Paul Harvey was and the rest of the story.
That's sad to say.
So actually, it's wonderful to say. Hey, I see.
I don't see the.
If it's deep water access right along that very very shallow flat, that gives fish protection from the cold,
true,
protection from the heat.
Gives them a place to hide in the winter.
It's
warm weather, warm water.
So many of our fish rely now on man-made canals for proper habitat.
Right.
Where it used to be creeks, but if the creeks don't exist, we have to replace
that
with man-made stuff.
Right.
And so, while I should be against it, and the environmentalist in you knee-jerk reaction would say, why are you digging on this flat? And
right.
Why are you doing this? But the actual... person in me who actually understands how nature
what
works
would be best for the
work.
Fish
and actually cutting a deep channel along that flat, so there was a deep channel and then flat, having riprap there for lots of marine growth,
sure.
You know, this to me is not a horrible thing,
right?
Another place for fish to live. And we don't want to think about it that way. But once you take away everything the nature gave them, we need to give them something back.
That's right. Otherwise, they aren't going to be here.
I just don't see it making it past the Army Corps of Engineers. It never does. That's why you don't. You've been trying for 15 years to get a cut into the bird section. Give it up. They keep telling you no, it's not going to happen.
And all they got to do is just go take a little bit of the sand out of poacher's cut.
Yeah, and they won't
it's
bite
a
them.
Natural creek. What, who's to say anything? They go through, they take some out, they go, oh, gee, I'm sorry, oops, we shouldn't have done that. When you're dealing with the government, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission.
That's right.
Unless
look at the locks. Look at the locks,
let's
though.
Not even go there. Come on. I was having such a nice day.
It took an act of God just to get the locks widened 4 inches.
Well, they took the locks out over there on the other side of Port Charlotte, going up on that waterway. They took them out because they figured, well, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. The Army Corps of Engineers put them in there, you know.
Well, the reason,
and then the other locks down in Fort Myers, they're talking about taking them out, the Chiquita locks.
It goes back to what I said about the artesian wells,
sure,
artesian springs. Years ago, when they put those in there, there was so much fresh water bubbling up.
Sure, it was pushing out all the time.
It was actually not good for the harbor. It was
right.
Actually too much fresh water.
It was
going
pushing
into the
out
harbor.
All the time. Yeah,
but they don't exist anymore.
Right, and now the water's backflowing in.
And the water's getting stagnant back there.
Yeah.
They need to open up as much as they can to get the water cleaned out.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think all you'd have to mention, you might have an angle, the Zika virus. You might have an angle there.
You're breeding too many mosquitoes.
If you cut the access ditch to the bird area, it'll decrease the likelihood of the Zikas.
It's actually true, because deeper water, they're not going to survive, and
yeah,
fish
right.
eat them.
Well, and it'll be flowing, too, so it won't be stagnant.
It was a failed experiment, because in the 1950s, we have a lot of mosquito ditches that
right.
cut. Literally, the people then were so much more industrious and so much more willing to spend time
right.
and money.
Well, and
to
when
do
they
this.
Came here, when they looked at the property down here originally to Bosch, because actually Carrie's dad
right.
did the survey for this whole county area when the Mackle brothers were going to buy the area. And they sent him down, and he flew over the area, boo, and he went back, and the guy's like, what do you think about Charlotte County? So I think it's knee-deep in alligators. You're going to be putting cows out there in the middle of the swampland, and there is no high ground anywhere there. And so then they came in with the Malalucas and the mosquito ditches, did everything they could to try to drain areas.
What the mosquito ditches are is literally they would go back on the flats, back into the marsh grass
yeah.
areas, and dig a ditch 10 feet wide and 4 feet deep
yep.
and just dig into it
yep.
and take that dirt out, thinking that the fish could get up in there to eat the mosquito larvae.
Oh, yeah.
That was the actual thought behind the mosquito
yeah,
ditch.
Some of my really nice redfish spots are the entrances
yeah,
to some of those mosquito ditches.
We
and
got into
they
one.
Were all dug here in the 1950s.
Yeah.
We got
yeah.
into one on our kayaks one day, one off of just above the skating rink.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we went
goes all the way to the lake.
We went probably a quarter mile back in there, and I have never seen so many damn snook in one spot.
It's nice
you
and shady.
Could walk on top of them back there.
Yeah, but it's nice and shady. They got that coverage.
Yeah, they got all the food. They have no pressure. Yeah. They got nothing to do but sit there and gorge themselves.
Habitat.
I had just chock full of snook.
And like I said, some of my best redfish spots are entrances to those mosquito
yeah.
ditches in various areas around the county. Whether it's Catfish Creek area up there by the Gasparilla Marina, or whether it's up in Hog Island, or Tippecanoe. There are a lot of places. There's some on the east side, too. So.
Well, there's one thing different, because when Jeff, you or I go out fishing, our first thought is, how far away can we get from any other living human?
That is true.
And
that is very true.
that's the first consideration you have.
Yeah. I'm not going to see any people today.
And when I was taking charters out, I would often ask my customers, well, do you want to catch a few more fish and go where there's people? Or would you rather catch a few less fish and go where we don't see anybody all day? And I would say 8 out of 10 said, let's
go where there's nobody.
Where there's nobody.
Yeah.
And I'm very successful captain
sure,
doing that.
Sure.
I did not, many days did not catch as many fish as I could have or had the potential to because,
sure.
I mean, I just thought when they came to Florida, they wanted to do the Back Bay experience.
Exactly.
And not be in a canal, not be out there. So anytime
yeah.
I could,
yeah.
I would head into the boonies and
sure.
you know, but you and I are exactly identical on that.
I mean, I would spend some days out there 2-3 hours trimming a spot to get into another spot. And then the next time when I went out there, I could take these people and go, hey, come on, let's go to this spot. You're gonna love this.
Yeah.
You know, and go back in there and they're like, oh my God, I never knew this existed.
I got to take you down to my one that I found on the west wall.
Yeah, I've probably been in it before. Yeah, I'm sure. I've been in every creek on that side.
I was going to say, 99% chance either Jeff or I or both of us have been there.
I guarantee it was before the hurricane.
Both of us spent literally months going through every creek we could find. Put the nose of the boat in there and look through the mangroves, and if you see more water.
We can get there.
We can get there.
And that's what it was. It was a legitimate mosquito ditch because you kept coming to intersections.
Oh, yeah.
For other
there's a
ditches.
Couple really good ones around all over there. And like I say, some of them I've retrimmed. And if you're out and about fishing out there and you see what looks like a little garage opening, pitch a bait in there. You know, I mean, that's probably the reason why it's there.
Yeah,
it's probably there so the fishermen could have access further back into the mangroves.
You got to take your time and you got to fish in front of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we would just get on the trolling motor and going back through there. And we were just so awed by what was going on back there. Sure. We weren't fishing.
We weren't trying to fish.
Big giant redfish bouncing off the trolling motor.
All right. I'm just actually still typing, trying to get all my stuff done so I remember what to do. Is there anything else we should go over today, guys?
Not that I could think of.
No, me neither.
Well,
get some nice water, get plenty of water for the day. If you got enough, then buy another six pack
of water.
There goes one, Jeff. That was a good hookup.
Get him!
That was a good hookup. Okay. Let's see. Anyway, here we go. And we're going to take us out of this. There we go. And this is Fish and Frank in the chair, Captain Kale in the chair across from me, and Jeff, one of our fishing instructors, Jeff Calkin. And now Kale is a charter boat captain. Well, you can hire to go out with him in his boat, or he goes out with you in your boat and shows you where to go and what to do. And there's also Jeff. Now, if you want somebody to take you out and show you the most remote locations in... Yeah, there you go, Jeff. I turned you back up.
We can do it. Yeah, if you want to go to a remote place, we can definitely find that.
Jeff is one of our fishing instructors. You can hire him to go with the boat, in your boat, along with you. And he will show you where to go and how to find these very, very remote locations. And there's nobody knows the river better than Jeff. I mean, from here to...
Definitely high right now, too.
Yeah, a lot of water up there. So, anyway, Fish and Frank here, Captain Kale in the seat across from me, and Jeff there. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll catch you in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.